For as long as humans have looked to the stars, we've wondered what the future holds, and we feared it. From cryptic versions in ancient temples to dreams so vivid they come true, prophecy has been called a gift, a curse, and even magic. But what if modern science, quantum physics itself, could explain how these glimpses of tomorrow reach us today? Tonight, world-renowned psychic medium and author Mark Anthony, J.D., Psychic Explorer, joins me to unravel the mysterious language of prophecy, the signs and symbols, and the ways spirits communicate what's yet to come. And as we'll discover, understanding a prophecy is only half the challenge. Accepting it is the other. That's next with our guest on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. This is Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony is also the author of some amazing books, The Afterlife Frequency, The Scientific Proof of Spiritual Contact, and How That Awareness Will Change Your Life. He has also written the book Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirits for Proof of the Afterlife, and Never Letting Go, Heal Grief with Help from the Other Side. Mark Anthony, our guest tonight. Mark, it's always great to catch up with you, sir. Prophecy.
It really is a big topic, Dave. And the thing is, it's a big topic and it's nothing new. It has been around for thousands of years. And a lot of people are kind of like, well, gosh, you know, is prophecy positive? Is it negative? But it's been documented in pretty much every culture since the dawn of recorded history. Scripture, the Old Testament, what our friends of the Jewish faith refer to as the Torah, is loaded with passages about prophecy, as is the New Testament, as well as, like I said, every other culture. So it is really a fascinating topic because people say, well, that's just a coincidence. But then when you start looking at how evidential and exact it can be, maybe not a coincidence at all.
But Mark, with the concept of prophecy, it also seems to come through the veil of who is interpreting the prophecy, right? Nostradamus, one of the most famous names, the Oracle of Delphi, things like that. You read some of these famous quotes and prophecies that they've made, and sometimes they feel almost like you're shoehorning in our current reality to match with those perspectives. And I've seen in some articles where people have gone, listen, 9/11 was predicted by Nostradamus. However, there have been other experts who look at the quatrains and they can say, but look, it also seems to align with what happened at Pearl Harbor. And it happens to align with what happened with the explosion of Mount Vesuvius. And it mentions all of these things. So is it coincidental that if we put out enough guesses, we're going to be right? Look, the Simpsons TV show right now, Mark, is considered one of the most prophetic things in history because it keeps saying things. But when you've been on for 30 plus years and projected what the future might hold, you're going to hit things and they're going to be right once in a while. How do we differentiate between what's legitimately something that has been prophesized and something that we are trying to mold into a pigeonhole to make sense for our current situation?
Well, let's take a look. I'm glad that you brought up the Oracle of Delphi. In ancient Greece, the god Apollo, the god who was also the god of the sun, the god of music, the god of learning, he was also the god of prophecy. And his twin sister Artemis was the goddess of the moon. So we had the Apollo program that took humans to the moon. And now the U.S. NASA is developing the Artemis project, his twin sister, to bring astronauts back to the moon, including the first female astronaut. But in ancient times, Delphi, or as my Greek friends always correct me, Delphi, was the epicenter of metaphysics and prophecy in the ancient world. And the priestesses of Apollo, the oracles were always female. They would sit on a tripod above a geothermal vent, so there'd be steam coming out, and they would bring forth prophecies. Now, what's really interesting is geological evidence and investigation of Delphi. The geothermal vents sit above it's volcanic, and the gases coming out of it contain methylene, and methylene can cause hallucinations, which is really interesting. So these priestesses were sitting there and they're basically getting a hallucinogenic trip. However, there've been a couple incidents which were heavily documented. King Croesus. Croesus controlled what is now pretty much the country Turkey. And this was about 500 BC, so 500 years before the accepted date of the birth of Christ. He was concerned about the rapidly expanding Persian Empire. Now, Persia in ancient times is what we now call the country of Iran. And it was a very powerful empire, and he was concerned about them. So he went to consult with the Oracle of Delphi, and the Oracle told him, if you attack the Persians, you will destroy a mighty empire. Well, he took that as, okay, let me attack the Persians, and he did. And they annihilated his army, took him prisoner. There's disputes whether or not he was executed. And when you look at it in hindsight, that's exactly what happened. He attacked the Persians and destroyed a great empire, his own. Now, there's an interpretation there. He interpreted it as, this is my lucky day. However, the reality was something different. And I know we got a break coming up, but I want to, in the next segment, talk about another prophecy at Delphi where the interpretation seemed very convoluted and very mysterious, but the person interpreting it was right on the money.
All right, we got about a minute and a half left in this segment, though, as we talk about the concepts of these oracles, right? Oracles in the Bible, they're oracles. In history, they're oracles. Later on, it seems that those dynamics shift to a term like witches, right? Soothsayers, fortune tellers. Why was it that it was okay at one point and then, you know, the screw turns and it becomes something more nefarious?
It coincides with the rise of Christianity, and I'm not crashing on Christianity because In Christian mysticism, the gift of prophecy is mentioned in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, as well as in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 through 12, which lists gifts from God, one of which is prophecy. And prophecy is the ability to foresee future events. So it basically depends, Dave, where you look in scripture, whether or not prophecy is negative or positive.
All right, we need to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more with Mark Anthony. And again, there's a link for Mark on today's program guide. So if you would like to connect with him for readings, classes, his live events, or to get copies of his book, it is very easy to find. And again, do me a favor, folks. Don't just buy the books. Read them, then rate and review them, because that goes a long way to help our guests get more eyes on their projects. We'll do that right after this. All right, Mark Anthony, we have got to talk more about prophecy and the whole concept of these messages. Where do they come from? How do we get them? How do we interpret them? And I know before the break, you'd mentioned that there was another prophecy from Delphi that seems to have gone through quite a manipulation of understanding. Why don't you load us up and explain a little bit more about that?
It did. Delphi, for 1,700 years, Dave, was the epicenter of prophecy in the classical Greco-Roman world. And so King Croesus had received a prophecy which he thought, you know, when he heard attack the Persians and destroy a great empire, and it backfired on him because the empire destroyed was his own. But a generation later, the Persians, having conquered what is now Turkey, then invaded the Greek mainland. And they were closing in on the city of Athens. And the Persians really wanted to get Athens because the Athenians kept agitating resistance and bringing up raising armies to fight against them. So the leaders of Athens, which included Pericles and the great admiral Themistocles, went to the Oracle of Delphi. And the priestess sitting on the tripod, breathing in the geothermal emission, said, Athens will be saved from behind wooden walls. Well, all the Greeks are scratching their heads going, well, Athens didn't have defensive walls, wooden or otherwise. But Themistocles, the admiral, said, I think I know what this means. He he immediately ordered an evacuation of Athens, got the whole population out of there, moved them to the island of Salamis. Meanwhile, the Greeks broke through. We all heard about the 300 who stood firm against the Persian army. Well, they overwhelmed them and they flooded into Greece and they seized Athens, which is deserted, burned it to the ground. Meanwhile, at sea, the massive Persian navy was closing in on the island of Salamis, but Themistocles had other ideas. With the Athenian fleet, which was smaller, but the Athenian ships were very highly maneuverable, they lured the Persian fleet into a narrow channel, so they started colliding with each other and running aground, and as the Persian ships were completely losing control, the Athenians were picking them off at a distance using flaming catapults because Themistocles interpreted the wooden walls as ships. And he knew that the Persians were essentially a land-based people and the ships that they were using were both Phoenicians, Lebanese, and Egyptians who were conscripted and forced to fight for the Persians. And they didn't want to fight for the Persians, and they were happy to let the ships wreck and abandon ship and surrender to the Greeks, going, hey, we're on your side. So in that case, the prophecy from behind wooden walls was interpreted accurately. 4 centuries later, the mighty Julius Caesar visited the Oracle of Delphi, and the message was, beware the Ides of March. Now, we've all heard that from the Shakespeare play where the soothsayer says, beware the Ides of March, but it actually came from the Oracle of Delphi. And what's interesting is that at the time Caesar returned to Rome, his mistress, the alluring Queen Cleopatra, she was 25, he was 55, okay? And even though Caesar was married, he was openly committing adultery with Cleopatra. Roman society did not approve at all. Although Cleopatra bore him a son, Caesarion, and Cleopatra had grave misgivings. She had a real bad feeling. She knew of the prophecy. And on the morning of the Ides of March, Caesar was going to march into Senate and instruct the Senate that this is no longer a republic. I am now the emperor. But what's really weird, Dave, is that that night, the night before, Caesar's wife, Calpurnia, had a dream of a bust of Caesar spouting blood. And unfortunately, he disregarded the prophecy, marched into Senate, was stabbed to death, and that was the end of Julius Caesar. So you got to be careful with prophecy, both in interpreting it and ignoring it.
There, we've heard of the term self-fulfilling prophecy. For those of us that are, you know, maybe always looking at the dark side of life, always looking at the problems that could happen. Now, some would think I'm being pragmatic and I'm seeing possible problems so that I can keep my mind clear for finding a way to get around them, issue them. Others see it as though I'm inviting that prophecy to come true. If I focus on something negative, the negative finds us. And, you know, there's a lot to that. I mean, we've often seen that, you know, what you believe or don't believe still has a way of coming true. So, you know, how do we be cautious moving forward with prophecy in our own thoughts of saying, oh, this is never going to happen, or yes, this is something I'm going to see. This I've noticed in my own life that when I put forth a goal without realizing that it's something I'm chasing like a puppy and a butterfly, I want to be a radio show host. I want to talk about the paranormal. Life found a way and things came together. I never really focused on it. It just kind of, that was always my dream. That was always my desire. And it always seemed that things lined up in my life to put me in that correct path. Was it simply because I was aware because that was my goal? Did it set that path in motion for me? How do you start to look at the prophecy of what we do and think and how it impacts and affects us negatively or positively?
Prophecy can affect us in many ways. And here's the thing, Dave, I've known you a long time and you were, and will continue to be destined to be a public figure, to be an investigator in the paranormal. That's just what's going to happen with you. Now, how you do that and what you do, that's where free will comes in. Okay. I remember right after law school, I went to a psychic and she said, you will be in front of TV cameras and you will be working as a psychic medium. And I burst out laughing because I knew that I had mediumistic ability. I grew up in that. But my focus in at that time in my life was to be a high-powered litigator, which I did do. But then as circumstances would have it, all of a sudden, everything in my life changed. And here I am on several TV shows, speaking in front of audiences all over the U.S. and around the world as a psychic medium. But at that time, that was not the focus of my life. Whereas with you, you wanted to do that and you were putting your energy into it, and yet you still did it. So the question is, whether or not we decide to do something, are we fated to do it? If we can see it or know about it, can we change it? And that is something I'd like to get into in our next segment.
Yeah, I'd love to chat more about that because I do watch and talk to people that will come to me for advice. And they're like, Dave, you have my dream job. You're a radio show host. You're an author. You've been on TV. How do I get there? And I always say, I don't have a clear defined line, but what I can say is I've always had a fascination in the paranormal. I've always wanted to be in radio. The rest of the doors just opened up as these things came together. And they're like, well, I've focused on things I want and I don't get what I want. And I don't understand why some do and some don't. And that gets to be kind of a sticky wicket for many of us, because is it a prophecy at that point that this is something that is going to come to pass? Or is it a dream and desire that you start to work on that the universe finds a way to help you navigate to? So I think, you know, I'd like to answer that for people as well when we come back, is what are your insights in why it happens for some and not for others when the focus, love, and desire is there? I will just say this. Sometimes it happens, just not on your schedule. It took me 40 years to get where I wanted to be. We'll be back with more right after this.
Oh, are you reading me? Come in. Hello?
Greetings from the shadow, and welcome to Shadowzine. My name is Jeff Belanger. I'm an author, podcaster, and explorer of the unexplained. For 30 years, I've been investigating the paranormal, UFOs, monsters, and things that bump in the night. Lately, you may have noticed how major TV networks and even social media networks have been pushing our favorite subject back into the shadows. I say good. That's why I launched Shadowzine, a monthly underground publication that covers your favorite topics in depth by some of the leading writers and researchers out there. If you're looking for 30-second TikTok clips, go somewhere else. If you're ready for a deeper dive, put down your phone and pick up Shadowzine. You can't find it in stores. This is old school print. Head to shadowzine.com and be part of the underground revolution. That's shadowzine.com, and I'll see you in the shadow.
And remember, my darklings, next month, September, my issue will be out about the Warren, Minnesota UFO encounter. And it is a great story. If you're not familiar with it, it is probably one of the best and most documented UFO encounters. And it took place right here in Minnesota. Mark Anthony, my guest this evening, as we talk about prophecy and the mysterious language of prophecy. Again, we were kind of talking before the break about the concept of what is prophecy. Is prophecy me saying I'm going to be a radio show host someday? Is that a prophecy, or is that a self-fulfilling dream and desire? And how does the difference between that and having a prophetic dream where people saw two buildings burst into flames and people falling to their death, and then 9/11 came? That seems to me to be more of what we consider a prophecy. Again, what is your concept to delineate what these things are and what the differences are and why some people see the prophecy come through and other people don't?
Let me start with how this actually happens. In my latest book, The Afterlife Frequency, I introduced the theory of the electromagnetic soul, the EMS. And we know that everything's made of molecules, which in turn are made of atoms, which in turn are composed of electrons, protons, and neutrons, which in turn are composed of the smallest particle, which is known as a quantum, and it's pure electromagnetic energy. Now, we all hear, you know, everyone likes to fling around the word quantum this, quantum that. But what this means, Dave, is that everything, you, me, the chairs we're sitting on, the microphones we're speaking into, the radio waves that this program is being broadcast on, the rays of light we see, the rings of Saturn and beyond, are all on the subatomic level in the material world universe composed of the same form of electromagnetic energy. When people say, well, that's really hard to wrap my head around, you have to remember that it did take Albert Einstein, Max Planck, Werner Heisenberg, Mileva Einstein, and Louis de Broglie to name a few. In other words, greatest geniuses the world has ever produced to figure this out. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? The reason I'm bringing this up is because it is theorized through Einstein's theory of relativity that on the quantum level, time as we know it doesn't occur in a linear fashion. It's all going on at the same time. So think of your life as a baseball diamond and the different points and parts of your life, you're playing different. In other words, think of your soul as a drone flying over a baseball diamond. And when you see yourself at home base, that's when you're born. First base, you're in, you know, third grade, right field, center field. Each player on the field is you at a different point in your life. Now, when we play by the rules of baseball, time is linear. You hit the ball, you got to run to first base, second base, third, and hopefully back to home. Well, according to Einstein, there are no rules of you have to run in one direction. Everything is occurring simultaneously. So what happens when you're 50 is as relevant and current as when you're 5 and so on and so forth. So my electromagnetic soul theory explains that our EMS is capable of tuning in to this vast interconnected electromagnetic field and picking up on future events. That's why particularly in the dream state, and I don't want to get too technical, but at 8 hertz there's five different main brainwave frequencies, and between the awake state and the sleep state, which is beta waves as they meld into alpha waves, is 8 hertz. This is where psychic and mediumistic activity occur. Spirits can see that, so they will align their frequency with yours when you're in the sleep state. And that, Dave, is why so many people have contact experiences. I know you've had your mom come and talk to you in dreams, and your dad will if he hasn't already, okay? And for everybody listening, when you have those, wow, that seemed real, it's because it was. But also, that is also the zone where people can tune into things that you and I consider to be the future. So, Dave, you have always felt, I want to be in radio, I want to do TV, I want to do this. And on a subconscious level, you've known this. I also, right, the thousands of readings I've done, sadly for parents, they'll say, my son always told me he knew he was going to die before he was 20. And then he did. Was it a self-fulfilling prophecy, or did his electromagnetic soul tune into that frequency, which then transmitted to him a knowing that he didn't make that happen, that was what was going to happen? So based on the work I'm doing with consciousness and electromagnetic energy, there is a technical explanation for prophecy, for spirit contact, and for all of our ability to have these intuitive senses. That's also why we get deja vu. I haven't been to this cafe in New Orleans before, but I feel I have. And it's because your EMS has tuned into that drone over the baseball field, and you're seeing time as it really is, as opposed to what we think it is.
A lot of deep concepts involved in what we're discussing this evening, and trying to wrap your head around it is not easy, right? No. If it was, we would all be prophets. We would all be soothsayers, fortune tellers. We'd know how to tap into that. And it seems it comes to different people at different times. would you consider what happened to me January 1st, 1988, when I kept driving by my street I grew up on, having flashes of my mom collapsing, having flashes of my mom being taken out to an ambulance, flashes of my mom being taken to the hospital. Every time I passed that street that New Year's Eve, dropping friends off safely, I kept having these more traumatic visions. I went home. Mom was fine. She came out, chatted with me, said, I'll be right back. Let me go to the bathroom and I'll have a cigarette and we can talk. And then she turned and went into a grand mal seizure.
Yeah.
Was it a prophecy I was receiving?
Yes.
Was it something else? How do we again, make sense of what that is?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was explaining, because your electromagnetic soul, Dave, your EMS, you were tapping into that quantum field. You see, every religion teaches, always was, always will be, we're all interconnected, we're all brothers and sisters. Every near-death experiencer comes out of it saying we're all interconnected. That's exactly what we're talking about. And you were able to tune into that and see what you and I would call a future event.
Let's do this. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, because maybe we're tapping into somebody who's very much alive in a different time era. We'll talk about that with Mark right after this.
Have you ever felt like something or someone was trying to tell you something? That inner nudge. That quiet whisper from the universe. With intuition sharpened by years of spiritual connection and a deep-rooted gift, Winnie Schrader delivers readings that are compassionate, insightful, and shockingly accurate. Whether you're facing a crossroads healing from heartache, or just curious what the cards reveal Winnie creates a safe, sacred space to explore your journey. This isn't fortune cookie fluff. This is honest, intuitive guidance from someone who's helped hundreds find clarity, closure, and confidence. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is it. Book your session now at lovelotustarot.com and take control of your journey. That's lovelotustarot.com. Winnie's sessions are personal, powerful, and often life-changing. That's lovelotustarot.com.
It is certainly a mysterious language, that of prophecy, and our guest tonight helping us try to understand this, Mark Anthony. Mark will be here with us in hour two as well as we decode prophecy and try to understand more of the stigma of it, the gift of it, and more. Just before the break, Mark, again, I know I throw you these heady concepts and how do we wrap it up in a clear 2-minute soundbite, but where do you want to go in this last segment for this hour?
I want to do a couple case studies. Let's start with Nostradamus, okay? He's kind of the biggie when it comes to foretelling future events. In 1555, right, Nostradamus found himself summoned to the court of France. King Henri II and his very amazing wife, Queen Catherine de' Medici. Now, even though Catherine de' Medici was the daughter of the famous Lorenzo de' Medici, who single-handedly funded the Renaissance, at least in Florence. And even though she was part of the wealthiest family in the world and gave Henri 11 children, her position at court was somewhat insecure because of Henri's mistress, Diane de Poitiers. Long story short, she needed an edge, so she heard about Nostradamus and his ability to foresee the future. He comes to court. He was a physician like none other. He didn't bleed his patients. He insisted on cross-ventilation, hygiene, proper nutrition. He treated bubonic plague with rose hips, a form of vitamin C, all very effective. Nobody else was doing this, but he could see the future. And he wrote, like you said before, Dave, in quatrains, which are 4-line paragraphs. And while at the court of France, he wrote a quatrain. He received a premonition. The younger lion shall surmount the old. Midst martial battlefield in a single duel, his eyes he'll put out in a cage of gold. 2 wounds joined, then a death most cruel. What did it mean? Nostradamus felt it meant something about the king, Henri. And even though they warned the king, he's like, he didn't want to listen to his wife. He didn't want to listen to that old soothsayer. And to further humiliate Catherine, Henri would show up in public with Diane de Poitiers, his mistress, behaving as queen. Well, then Henri, Mr. He-Man Macho King, his favorite sport was jousting. And that's where, you know, both opponents are on a horse. They have lances. They're in full armor. And the point's not to kill each other. It's to charge at each other and knock your opponent off with his lance. So about 3 years after that ominous prophecy, King Henri is up against Captain Montgomery. Well, Henri shows up wearing his new gold-plated armor, and both he and Montgomery have lions as their emblems. They charge each other, and a freak accident occurs. Captain Montgomery's lance, he hits Henri's shield, but it's shattered, and a fragment penetrates Henri's gold helmet, goes into his eye and then into his brain. Horrified, the entire court of France watches as now they realize Nostradamus's prophecy has come true. Both wearing emblems of a lion, the younger lion surmounted the old on a marshal, a battlefield, which was jousting. His eyes he'll put out in a cage of gold. Henri's wearing a gold-plated helmet. Two wounds join. A fragment hits his eye, then goes into his brain, then a death most cruel. It took Henri 10 agonizing days to die.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that is one of the most intense prophecies in history. But once again, at the time it was prophesized, it didn't necessarily make sense. Nostradamus, being a very experienced psychic, knew it was about the king. But just because we can see something doesn't always mean it happens. In March, in the last quarter of 2019, I kept doing readings, and in every reading, spirits would appear to me wearing surgical masks, and they all said March 2020. March 2020. And I was like, well, are you going for surgery? Is somebody in the medical profession? Nobody knew what it meant. Then, Dave, in March 2020, the whole world goes into lockdown. Most people were wearing surgical masks to protect themselves from the virus. And I started getting emails and calls from dozens of clients. Oh, my God. Now I know what the prophecy meant. It also went a little bit further because in one reading, it said, you will see what the world can achieve when your geniuses work together. In that 6 weeks, factories came to a stop. People weren't flying, driving. Air quality improved. Dolphins appeared in the canals of Venice. Geniuses all over the world were working together, sharing information to come up with treatments and how to diagnose. Even though the pandemic was a horrible thing, we were given a glimpse of what humanity could achieve if our intellectuals were working with each other instead of against each other. And that's not political, that's human.
But that also begets another set of questions. You're given this ability to prophesize, to see people walking around with masks. You're given a date, March 2020. But no clear indication as to what's going to happen, nor how can you prevent it? How can you save people? What can you do, Mark Anthony, with the information that's given to you? And that becomes what I think a lot of people refer to as the curse of prophecy or the curse of seeing. We've only scratched the surface of prophecy's strange and tangled language. When we return, Mark Anthony will take us even deeper into the history, the science, and the spirit side mechanics of how these messages arrive, and why they so often come wrapped in riddles. The answers and the warnings may surprise you next on the Paranormal 360.